Now I hope you followed that reading. It was all clear as mud. If so, you're a better person than I am. It's a complex passage, and I hope that we can just carefully pull it apart. So just bear with us as we go through it, and I hope we'll get understanding. So let's pray to the Lord for that understanding now. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you wherever we're at, especially when our hearts are troubled, our minds perplexed, our energy gone. Grant us your peace, Lord. As we come to your word, help us to know your rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's no rest apart from Christ. I've got a Christian friend who is tired, hassled. She's turning to Buddhist meditation to find peace and rest. She knows the Lord, but she's turning to Buddha to find that peace and rest. Others, of course, turn to drugs, or they turn to counselling. But apart from Christ, there is no rest. Now, this is not to despise or scorn counselling or legal drugs. They've got their place, but spiritual rest, that is rest from shame, rest from guilt, rest from fear, that needs a deeper healing that no human can bring. Only Christ can bring permanent healing to these sorts of wounds. There's an old codger called Augustine, famous father of the church, who said, "You have formed us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in you." Our hearts are restless till they find rest in you. Another old codger called Pascal, many centuries ago, said a similar thing. He said, "There was once in man a true happiness. All that now remains is only the mark, an empty trace, which he in vain tries to fill. The infinite abyss can only be filled by God himself." Putting it more colloquially, in plain language, what these two are saying is there's a God-shaped blank in all of us. God created us with this God-shaped blank that only he can fill. Only in Christ we can find rest. This passage today is about God's rest, and there are four parts to it. Don't miss it. What is it? It's there for the taking. And the challenge to rest. So firstly, the warning, don't miss it. Don't miss God's rest. When Israel first got to the edge of the Promised Land, some spies went ahead, as Harold read us in that first reading, and they came back with terrifying stories of giants. So the Israelites said, "Let's go back to slavery in Egypt. We were safer there, things were better." But two spies, Joshua and Caleb, they brought good news, literally, the gospel. They said, "The land is ours for the taking, guys. Giants, so what? We've got God on our side. Who's afraid of giants?" So Israel heard the good news, yet didn't believe. For good news came to us just as to them, but it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Yes, they believed in God. They believed that, yes, Yahweh was the one who took them out of Egypt through the Red Sea, but they doubted him. They doubted his power and his promises. They doubted his power over giants, and they doubted his promises to protect them. So they rebelled against their Creator, against their Saviour. They wanted Egypt back. And this is staggering, isn't it? Because this is the same mob who had seen God's great works, his plagues on Egypt, his parting of the Red Sea, and on it goes. So God swore an oath that none of those Israelites, none but for Caleb and Joshua, would ever enter his rest, that is, his promised land. We don't think that we can rest easy and think we're somehow different from those Israelites, because they had the gospel, the good news, yet rebelled. So we can hear God's words and believe in him. Yes, I believe that there's a God up there somewhere. And yet not trust him. See, trust goes further than just simple belief. That is, we can believe God but doubt his power. We can doubt his promises. Are you hearing and trusting his word today? Well, you may believe, as I say, you may believe passionately, but do you trust God? That is, when the rubber hits the road, are you willing to let go of the things that you hold to, you trust in for your security, that are important to you? Are you willing to let go of them for his sake? Because James wrote, even the demons believe. Yes, the demons believe in God and yet shudder. That is, they don't trust. What father would be impressed with a son, you know, a teenage son who says, yes, I believe you're my dad, but I didn't trust you to pick me up, so I got left with a stranger and went home with him. What father would be impressed with a son like that? So simply believing that something is true will not bring rest. Only trust will do that. Look at Jesus. The disciples were amazed at how Jesus managed to fall fast asleep in a boat that was going down. Even these experienced fishermen were terrified at the storm that they were facing. And yet Jesus rested because he trusted his heavenly Father. There is a rest for you. You can know it today. It only needs trust. Well, what is this rest? There are three rests spoken of in this passage, and this is where it may get complicated and confusing as you had it read to you. So let's tease them apart. First, there's God's rest from creation. That refers to his creation on the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works, as it says in Genesis. Secondly, there's there's Joshua's rest. Joshua who led them into the promised land. So God's rest is there for the people to enter, but those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So this rest, the promised land, was the rest that they had available, but they refused. And then there's thirdly, a rest yet to come. This is first of all spoken of by David, who says, so God set another time for entering his rest. That time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. So David warned his readers of the day when he was writing the Psalms, don't harden your hearts like they did earlier in the wilderness. But you see, David's readers, they were already in the promised land. This happened centuries later. So there must be a future rest beyond that promised land that David is talking about. And the writer goes on. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken of another day of rest still to come. So you see, the promised land, yes, that's a sort of rest, but it's only a taste. That land of milk and honey, that's only a taste of a future heavenly rest. Well, that was what David said back in his time. Now we come forward a bit further. So we started with Joshua in the Promised Land, then David. Now we're coming a bit further to the writer of Hebrews. What does he say? He says, today, if you hear, don't harden your hearts. You see, the Spirit speaks every day fresh to us through his word. So in the time of the writer of the Hebrews, his hearers were hearing it fresh from the Spirit today, as we do. You're hearing it now, today. If you hear, do not harden your hearts. But what actually is this rest? What does it look like? Well, first of all, it's my rest, God's rest. He says, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Just listen to that. We're invited to share the rest that God himself enjoys. This heavenly rest that God has created, we're invited to be part of that. Just imagine Prince Charles invited you to his royal retreat up in Scotland and took you out grouse shooting, or probably in Prince Charles' case it's more likely to be picking his organic beans, and then going out for a walk around the locks. Wouldn't that be great? But we have a rest far better than hanging out with Prince Charles and eating his organic beans. It's also a cosmic rest, a heavenly rest. It's much more than just a holiday. After creating the universe, God rested on the seventh day. And this is the rest we've been invited to share. On the first 6 days in Genesis, each ended with this phrase, and there was evening, and there was morning. And then it went on, and a fifth day, and a sixth day, and so on. But this didn't happen for the seventh day. The reason is that we are still in the seventh day. His rest began when he completed his work of creation, and it continues today. And we can share in it. We've been invited to share in that rest. God's rest is joyful and satisfying. Creation was a joyful event, that even the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy, Job says. Job does have some bright spots in it, despite the gloom of that book. So as each day's work was done, God pronounced it good, and then finally very good. God rested satisfied with what he'd accomplished. And finally, God's rest is a productive rest. So God's rest is not a laying down of tools. It's more like a builder who finishes his building and then stands back and admires the work. So God's rest is a working rest. His main work of creation was finished, but that doesn't mean that God went off fishing or fell asleep. No, Jesus said, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." So our work in heaven will see us engaged in work, productive, satisfying, joyful work, because we're working for our Heavenly Father. Our rest is there for the taking, both now and then. So God's rest is available to us now. It says, for we who have believed enter that rest. We enter it now. That is, we can experience heaven now. As we trust in his promise of rest, we can enter that rest and experience that rest now. And we also live in the hope of a future rest, for there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. So we're living in this transition period. It's like a concert. The entry ticket's been paid for, so your entry is guaranteed, but you haven't arrived yet. Actually, it's even better than a guaranteed ticket to a concert, because there won't be any COVID cancellations in heaven. But there are only two things that can stop us entering that rest: unbelief and disobedience. And these two are interchangeable: unbelief and disobedience. Just look at these two verses. For this good news has been announced to us just as it was to them, the Israelites, but it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listen to God. So unbelief locked them out of the rest. It goes on. So God's rest is there for people to enter, but those who first heard this good news failed to enter. Why? Because they disobeyed God. See, the same problem: unbelief, disobedience. They're interchangeable because faith is shown in works and unbelief in hard hearts and disobedience. We are to enter this rest today. So God's rest is there for people to enter. It's an offer that's not available forever. There is urgency in this warning. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So if you've not entered this rest, do it today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Today is the day for entering his rest. And it's simple. It's as simple as walking through a door, through that door. Will you walk through the door to his kingdom and enjoy his rest today? Will you leave behind your guilt, your shame, your stubborn pride, and enter that door today? Will you enter that door and give your life to him if you haven't already? Well, the challenge to rest, we finish with this. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. How do we make every effort? Well, we focus on the rest. In particular, we focus on the one who gives us that rest, on Christ. Like Paul, we need to be focused. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of the goal." This is Paul who's saying this, the great apostle to the Gentiles, who saw a vision of Christ on the road to Damascus. This is Paul who says, "I haven't yet taken hold of it." "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Remember, brothers and sisters, it is God's rest that we have been invited to share in. It is a rest that is joyful, satisfying, and productive. Are you fully confident that God will give you the rest he has promised? Dispel your doubts. Dispel them today. Trust your Creator. Trust your Saviour. Know the peace and rest that Christ has won for us. Let God fill that God-shaped blank that is in us so that you will know his life, his peace, his rest. Please join me in prayer. Lord, fill that God-shaped blank in us that lies at the heart of us all. Fill it with the love, grace, and peace, the rest of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.